Oh, I wonder where Jack could be. Bang. I've just discovered him in front of my very eyes. Knowing me, Zach Thompson, knowing you, Jack Frimston, aha.
Very good.
How are you,
I'm
sir?
really good. I'm in a new location. For people that know me, I'm usually in one part of the corridor. I'm actually in another part of the corridor. And if you're getting an echo today, that's because I'm in a place where echoes can happen. Speaking of things happening,
Nice.
this is Trench Ships with me, Jack Frimpson, and Zach Thompson. And today it's going to get really good.
So we get really good. So we talk a lot about cold calls, but we've recently been getting a couple of requests to talk about discovery a little bit more. And after the backlash we got from talking about Gary's economics,
Don't
we thought
mention
we'd have
his
a break
name.
from
Don't mention his name.
reaction. Sorry. We get
We
it.
won't put his
Tax the
name in the
rich
comments.
and poor people are good. Like, we get it. We get the
Thank you.
message. Five things you're getting wrong in discovery and how to fix them. Are you ready, Jack Frimpson? I'm going to present one by one. We'll talk about them. We'll give some tips. We'll get you out of here in 10 minutes.
Nice. We haven't
Yeah, sound
rehearsed
good?
this, so I'm ready. I don't know what you're going to say. We might have a big fucking row, actually.
All right. Number one, you're asking surface level questions, which feel like you're interviewing, not discovering. Okay. So I'll give you an example of what I mean. Let's imagine you're, let's say you're like a recruitment consultant. What job title? When do you need someone to start? What does that actually feel like? It doesn't really feel like discovery. It almost feels like admin.
I think,
How do you fix it?
well, just before we run in with a solution, I think one of the things that I hear a lot is like one of the questions is like, what does that look like? Do you know what I mean? And which isn't a bad
Oh,
question,
yeah.
but like if you're talking about your recruitment process, I understand where you might be going with it, but a lot of the time it's there's two paths you can take on the discovery train, isn't there? There's the emotional path of what is your problem? Why are you motivated to fix it? What are you trying to achieve? Where do you want to be? Or logical path, what does that actually look like? What software are you using? What tech are you using? What's the job title that you want to fill? It's like, it's boring. That's not how people are buying. So the solution, Zach Thompson, is getting into the nitty-gritty. I've been told that everything that you want in life is on the other side of hard questions and difficult conversations. You like that?
Very nice. I like
Yeah.
that. I like that a lot. Okay, so let's flip that then. You mentioned a really good point then. So software. So you hear a lot of software people, they go, "Oh, what are you using right now? What can, you know, which one of it's basically which one of our competitors are you using?" So they can go, "Bet you don't like this feature, but you'd probably like this feature." It's very, very surface level and a bit naff. We've just released a book, shameless plug, Sales is Therapy. I would say the solution is ask like a therapist. So dig into not just what are you doing at the minute, but why does the problem exist in the first place? Why are we talking? What happens if you don't fix it? What's under the surface? What do you think is causing the problem in the first place? So if you approach sales conversations and discovery, particularly like a therapist, you will get to the root cause of the problem and the motivation to fix it. Start asking surface level questions, get into the
I
why.
like that. Give me
Agree?
another one.
All right. You're solving before they felt it. You're rushing to pitch rather than waiting.
Yeah. I see, I mean, the biggest mistake that I
Yeah,
see on
go on.
discovery, the biggest faux pas is people rushing before they've even, like, in the beginning, they rush in to solve it based on like the first 3 minutes. It's literally, if you've got a 30-minute conversation, you should only be bringing any kind of solution at the end. There might be little tidbits that you kind of sprinkle throughout. Maybe you might say, "Oh, okay, so if I said we did that bit like that, okay," and then you go back into discovery, but you shouldn't be offering the solution before you know it. Would you go into a doctor's surgery and they say, "Hi, my name's Zach Thompson. Brilliant, I've got you the antibiotics." "Oh, cool. I've actually just got a cut finger. I need a plaster."
I wonder if there's anyone with nieces and nephews out there called biotics.
Uncle Biotics.
My
No. Yeah,
antibiotics.
and never mind. What's your take on that?
Never mind. For people watching at home, that was just Jack not getting the
I was
joke.
getting the joke and I took it to a great place.
I'm going to give people something really tangible here, right? So I'm going to say we combine a therapeutic approach, which we did on point one, with something called IKEA. Mm. And it worked really well here because if someone's like, they've got to this point where they've talked about what they're looking for, exactly what they're looking for, rather than pitching what you do, if like IKEA, where you build it yourself, you stop and you say to the prospect, well, okay, I'm sure you've seen a lot of demos before. I'm sure you've done a lot of discovery calls. If you were in my shoes, what would this need to look like to actually avoid the pain, make life feel easier? Mm-hmm. And then they will build their ideal solution. But oftentimes a few things are going to happen. They're going to build their ideal solution. You're going to be able to think, okay, we can, we can't do that. And it will steer your discovery call. But they might raise things that actually haven't come up yet already. Well, I need it to be able to integrate with Microsoft. Oh, that hasn't come up yet. Better jot that down and explore that. And they will build something really ideal, often outlining things that haven't been talked about so far. Would you agree that a therapist IKEA combo is going to work really well there? Or would you say, you know what, you're wrong and I don't like you?
I'd say buy the book Sales as Therapy and you might find out my opinion. Give me another one.
Wow, okay. You're avoiding tension, so you get ghosted. You're tiptoeing around the hard questions, so you stay nice and forgettable.
There we go. So yeah, absolutely. When people say, yeah, yeah, I'll come back to you. Yeah, yeah, I'll come back to you next week. I'll email you, whatever. All of those bits, that's where you know you have to bring up the elephant in the room. The elephant in the room is typically when people say they'll get back to me. That's a nice way of saying I'm not interested. So many salespeople struggle because they don't ask those difficult questions, which means they're left wondering, is this going anywhere? Are they going to get back in touch? If there's no next step, don't put it in your pipeline. Consider it dead. Zach Thompson?
Exactly. I would say get all your tough questions out at the start of the discovery call. It's going to really, really help you if you can do this. So actually starting a discovery call by saying, I'm going to share with you a couple of reasons why these calls don't go anywhere. Might not be the case here, but just so this call is as ethical as possible. It's normally because of budget, people can't work for, and really list the reasons why people don't work with you out and let your prospect then deal with them. And you'll be amazed, I know this is about avoiding the real tension, but you'll be amazed once you get past that, how little tension and objections there are for the rest of the call. Another point on this is if you spot inconsistencies, don't be scared to call them out. Mm. You're very good at this, Jack. I've said this already today.
Twice. Too many compliments.
Yes, you can have it again. If someone is talking about like urgent, we really need something in place, but then they're talking about we'll make a decision in the next 2 months, that doesn't add up. So you should feel comfortable saying, sorry, before you told me it was really urgent, you need a really urgent fix, and now we're talking about this 2 month time frame. I'm missing something. There's something I'm not following here.
The idiotic lawyer, bring him into play. This chat, 8 minutes so far, lots of knowledge, and it's free. It's mad that this is free.
It's mad, man. You're taking the brief but not qualifying the buyer. So you're treating discovery almost like the bit before a pitch. So you're just kind of going through the motions. Oh, here's what you're looking for. Great. Bang, now let me pitch you what I'm actually doing. Yeah?
Yeah.
So not actually going in and qualifying, like, can we actually work together? Just hearing, here's what I'm looking for. Great, okay, well, let me now switch to pitch mode where I share my screen and talk you through what I'm doing.
I just think so many salespeople are missing a trick in discovery, because I actually think that's where all the, from doing this now for many years and experience, we must have sat hundreds, if not thousands, of discovery calls before we have a meeting. But like, that's where the selling happens. That's where like the good stuff happens. Mm. The good stuff comes in asking the brilliant questions and getting into the nitty gritty, warm, fuzzy center of it. That's where the selling actually happens. That's where they're eyeing up whether you are somebody that they can trust and whether you are providing a solution that they would trust them to go from A to B. And the way that you do that is by sounding like an expert and asking questions like an expert. You don't need to tell them you're an expert and come up with an incredible brief. You've just got to build the trust. Obviously, if the solution at the end is shit, well, that's a different conversation. But a lot of it all happens up front. So I think, like, don't sleep on discovery. Like, this is where so much of the magic happens.
Yes. The easiest way to build confidence is doing what you said you would do.
Mm. Wow.
That's it.
Wow. Maybe one day they'll put you in marble.
Maybe they will. What I would say on this one, again, just to give like another little practical tip, if you're someone who feels quite uncomfortable with this, set expectations early in the call.
Mm.
So obviously this call goes both ways. I'll ask you some questions, you ask me too. If it makes sense, we'll do a next step. If not, you can tell me no. There's literally no pressure on that. The worst thing for me is if we hit a point where neither of us really know where we're at. So is that a fair expectation for the call, Mr. and Mrs. Customer?
Really nice. I think one of the pieces of advice I heard once was, like, if you're somebody that's really like anxious when it comes to like asking for the business, just say that up front. Like you would be rewarded for your honesty. So it might sound like this. Zach, can I be honest with you just before we jump into this? Yeah. Typically, we get to the end of the call, and I don't really know what people are feeling. You okay, mate? Yeah, you've got a call? You want to take that?
Yeah.
Okay?
No.
Everyone's going to be saying, whoa, who's shuttlecock? So if you get to the end of... I've absolutely lost my train of thought now. If you get into a conversation and you say, listen, Zach, at the end of the conversation, I sometimes feel a bit awkward or weird asking what you want to do for the next. So can we get to a point that if we get to the end of the conversation, I'll just ask you straight up, where do you want to go from here? And you just tell me honestly. It removes all that pressure up front and it kind of gives you like a little bit of leverage.
Yes, I agree. Completely. Sorry to distract you.
No, you really did distract me, but I also know what's important to you. Go on, give us one more. We can do it in a minute because you've got a really important call to make.
No, it's okay. You're right. So this is an interesting one. Like, so let me explain to you what I mean by this one. You're solving for them instead of with them. So I think people treat discovery as almost like a list of needs, like a tick box mm-hmm. thing. So they're going like, do you have 5 SDRs already? Tick. Do you have this already? Tick. Are you looking to do this? Tick. It's like almost like replica of Bant.
Mm.
But then because of that, you're just ticking the boxes together. The sales process feels quite stiff for the person on the other side. But for the seller, there's lots of not really getting in there and finding out exactly what's going on. So there's like this element of I'm finding out the things, but it's lacking that kind of co-creation collaborative thing. Does that make sense? Mm.
Yeah, I think so. It's definitely, say what the point was again. Say the words exactly.
So you're solving for them instead of with them. So it's just me going like, I sit down in my doctor's surgery all day. Do you have a runny nose? Yes. Are you feeling tired? Yes. Okay, here's your prescription. Mm-hmm. Rather than going, how long have you been feeling tired for? What happened? You know what I mean? Like
it's just lazy, isn't it? It's lazy questioning. And realistically, if you're listening to this and you feel like your question is lazy because of that, I wouldn't blame yourself. I would probably blame a sales leader above you or in the past that's taught you that that's the method. We know that bank questions are questions for the seller. What happens if you ask, what happens if you start asking genuine questions as if you were on the side of the buyer? But what if it was a case of life or death, this person that I'm sat down with needs to get the right solution? And this is why we send so many people away, because I go, I genuinely can't help you. Whereas so many people are trying to shoehorn business just because they're sat in front of their ICP.
Yeah, exactly. And actually, it goes back to a few of the points we've made so far on the call. IKEA, digging deeper, asking the right questions. But I think starting off your calls by saying, either you can go either way, this, what would make you feel really confident after this call mm-hmm. that this was kind of worth your time to sit down? Oh, I'd want to know that you can do X, Y, and Z. You can also flip this question if you're like, oh, I want to invert this and this guy's a bit of a funny prospect. I want to lean into it a little bit. You can totally flip it and say, what would make you feel really uncomfortable at the end of this call? So not what would make you feel comfortable, what would make you feel really uncomfortable?
Yeah, if we haven't covered X, Y, Z, if we didn't get to, exactly. Really nice, really nice.
Exactly.
So no task today.
Exactly. I'll give you a little bonus question.
A little what?
Actually, Jack, I've not told you about this yet. So I was reading this thing the other day the styles of questioning that pull both parts of your brain in. Right. So, you know, like we talk about logic and emotion, but actually when you cross over the path in both, it creates this bit of tension. So opening discovery call question for people to try. I'm still working on this. Why are we sat down? What problem are you trying to solve? Great. That's normally how we'd start the call. Second question, if you knew someone else also experiencing this problem and you couldn't use us, how would you solve the problem?
How would
you advise them to do it?
Very, very therapeutic, isn't it? Where did you get it from? What's the name?
No, it wasn't from a therapist. I was basically looking into different kinds of questioning techniques. It's a style of cognitive distancing. So it's actually moving someone away from the problem, but it tests the motivation to fix it, and it does a few other things as well. It's like, oh, I have to kind of self-solve the problem without this crutch of being able to use this tech platform or whatever we're here to talk about.
Interesting. Mate, we should take this offline because I'm enjoying myself. No task today, just two apologies from me. One for obviously the background. It's not appropriate, and hopefully I'll be back in my normal cave next week. And I'll pass over to Zach Thompson. Obviously, everybody that's watched this episode for the whole time knows exactly why he's going to apologize.
Sorry for eating my pan.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Crunchy in the corner. All right, I'll see you next week. Love.
Certain bits. Had a strong cough.
Bye, mate.
Cheers, guy. Bye.